With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. And as promised, his name is Ivan Mazzelli. He covers college football for ESPN, and he's the host of the College Football 150 Down and Distance podcast. The first episode, America Mourns Rockne, dropped this morning. It's available wherever you get your podcasts. He joins us now. Ivan, how are you?
I'm great, guys. I appreciate you having me.
Absolutely.
Pleasure is ours.
Pleasure is ours. So with this particular podcast, it is interesting because it's not like the other 40 million podcasts that we have that are reacting to current events and things that just happen. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a podcast that is looking through a historical lens of the best moments and the best athletes and the best sort of events in college football. Do I have that right?
Well, yeah, the best stories, really, because, Rockne's death and funeral was certainly not a great event, but it was memorable. And what we wanted to do and what we've really tried to do throughout the entire College Football 150 project is show how the history of college football reflects the history of the country. And this story is a great example of just that.
So I guess sort of take us through this, because most of our listening audience is probably not familiar with how Newt Rockne's death and sort of life maybe shaped college football. So, you know, how would you sort of convey to our audience, you know, his impact?
Well, everybody knows the name Rockne. He was the first celebrity hero football coach. Mm-hmm. He made Notre Dame into a national brand and did it largely because the Big Ten wouldn't allow him in the league. They wouldn't take a Catholic school. So he pivoted and went national. And the whole country loved him and respected him. He was a big believer in plane travel, but it was a little early in the days of plane travel, and his plane crashed in a bad storm on March 31st, 1931. And what intrigued me about the story was it was the first funeral broadcast over radio. Hmm. And that's something that we take for granted as Americans, that when a celebrity dies, we all watch the funeral together and we all mourn together. Well, that had never happened until Rockne. And so I wanted to explore who he was and how his death and his funeral sort of telegraphed, to borrow the word, a change in the communications industry.
I was going to ask you just about quite the undertaking, what you guys have bitten off here. What's that look like in the planning stage? Like you said, you're trying to find the greatest stories over 150 years. What's that look like in the planning stages? How many heads are in that meeting when it starts? How's this all play out?
Well, the planning really began 3.5 years ago, to be honest with you.
Had to,
Yeah, and we've got, the podcast is really just the tip of the spear. Over the next few weeks, we'll begin rolling out 35 hours of new programming that ESPN has commissioned and produced. There's a documentary that will run Saturday night after the Florida-Miami game called Football Is Us, The College Game, the opening documentary. There are three series that will run beginning next month. The American Game, The Greatest, and Saturdays in the South, which will run on the SEC Network and is an 8-part, 12-hour history of the SEC.
Fantastic.
And all the series are just terrific. I'm biased, but we've had some really talented people working on them. And, again, we're just trying to use college football to tell a lot of great stories about the sport and the country.
Over at ESPN.com last week, the 50 best college football programs over the last 150 years, that list dropped. Alabama was number one, and you guys haven't had a rating system for it. Was there much of a debate when you're – and I don't know how much sort of involvement you had on this particular project, but would there have been and was there much of a debate over that selection?
No, because what we did was, which we do often – at ESPN is we went to our stats and information guys and just said, come up with a formula. And they looked at the history and tried to figure out how to weigh the different eras against one another. Mm-hmm. And they came up with a formula. And, you know, it's interesting because you look at the list, and Yale is the seventh greatest program in the history of college football.
I'll ask you about that. Yeah.
You go, what? But if you look at the first 50 years of the sport, Yale was first.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they figured out how to weigh that so that you give history its due without it overwhelming what, you know, obviously, you know, the worst team in college football could be Yale in 1899 today. You know, you can't think of it in terms of that. It's apples and oranges. But in their time, they were a great program. So it was just a question of figuring out how to weigh one against the other.
And then you had North Dakota State. You get some FCS love. I think it was at 10, Ivan, if I'm not mistaken. So you did it at all levels and across all levels.
Exactly. And, you know, if we wanted to honor the programs that were champions. You know, we didn't say the 50 greatest FBS programs.
Absolutely.
We just said the 50 greatest programs. And we weighed the FCS and the D2 and D3, you know, programs at a lower rate than the FBS schools. But, again, we didn't want our whole college football 150 project to be just about, you know, the FBS,
yes,
because
sir.
The sport is not about the FBS.
Oh, makes all the sense in the world. And then you've touched on, I've seen you tweet, some of these other greatest lists that you all are putting out as part of the tons of content you'll have on this. Can you tell us some? Are we doing greatest running backs, greatest quarterbacks, like those greatest lists that excite fans so much?
What we did was for the, you know, 150 greatest teams,
yep,
150 greatest games, 150 greatest coaches,
wow,
and 150 greatest players. So
wow,
we assembled a voting panel of 150 people in the sport, writers, broadcasters, former coaches, former players, administrators, and we asked them to vote. And out of that vote, we came up with these lists. We're still voting on a couple of them, but the first list, the 150 greatest teams, will roll out later this week.
Gotcha. Gotcha. It sounds fantastic. Hey, where would you put Trevor Lawrence on your list, Ivan? I know it's early.
Yeah, we did discuss that. We're trying to figure out, you know, what do we do when this, like the 150 greatest players list is going to come out at the end of this season.
Okay, yep, okay.
And, you know, the bottom line is the players who play great in 2019 are going to get cheated, but the more I thought about it, the more I thought, well, this is actually the 151st season.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the first season, and Beano Cook used to say this all the time, you know, if the first season was 1869, then the 150th season was 2018. So the Tuas and the Trevors of the world are just going to have to wait for 50 years to find out where they stack up.
We are, of course, talking to Ivan Maisel. He covers college football for ESPN, the host of the College Football 150 Down and Distance podcast. You can get that wherever you get your podcast. Back to the top 50 ranking here. Tennessee is number 14. Mm. Over the next 150 years, Ivan, I'm asking you to project a little bit here. Are they going to move up or are they going to slide out?
Yeah. Well, it's only been a rough, 12 years?
Yeah.
12 years. So, you know, we all have, we all have a little nearsightedness when it comes to things like that. And when things are not going the way you're used to going, it seems like it lasts forever. But, again, I think over the course of the history of the sport, Tennessee's acquitted itself very well. And really the strength of the program in the middle 50 years, according to what our stats and info guys said, it was the strength of Tennessee in the middle 50 years of the sport, yep, which was General Nealon's wheelhouse that got them that highly ranked.
I'm sure, I know you tweeted about this too, and I was a Bears fan, and it always seemed like, you know, Sid Benson had sort of his own story, but kind of a story with a sad tone already. It obviously ends even more tragically at 30. You ever cross paths with Sid, and what a sad ending to what seemed like an already sad story. One of the greatest.
Well, I only interviewed him in group sessions.
In those sessions, okay.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, you know, I didn't know him personally, but you know, Seth Golden in Austin wrote a really good column about it.
Yes, he did,
and talked about how he really seemed to have begun to figure things out, but he loved how independent Benson was, and sometimes to his own detriment. But that, you know, if you mm-hmm. asked him an honest question, you got an honest answer, and that's how he just went his own way, and it's just such a shame.
You know, on this podcast, on the Down and Distance podcast, we got a chance to kind of see what you got cooking in the future for your episodes, and one of them is going to revolve around Michael Vick. Not going to ask you to give it away, but just in terms of, you know, your memory of him at Virginia Tech and just the way he dominated the sport, you know, what comes to mind when you think about Michael Vick's career?
Well, the reason I wanted to do that story is that 2000 Sugar Bowl at the end of his redshirt freshman season, people don't talk about Peter Warrick in that game, who was the most outstanding player of the game. Mm-hmm. And I think from the next morning on, all anybody remembers is what Michael Vick did.
That's true.
And it was sort of that, and I think he was, in all the discussion, and now we don't think twice about African-American quarterbacks, but even as late as 20 years ago, there was still this sort of question about, well, they were more athletes than mm-hmm. they were quarterbacks. And I think my supposition in this podcast is that Michael put that whole line of baloney to bed. You know, I think he was such a great runner and thrower and such an incredible athlete at quarterback. You know, he could do everything. And that was the game where we first saw it, and that's what I wanted to talk about in that podcast.
Ivan, has it surprised you? I'm looking forward to that, by the way. Has it surprised you sort of what Memphis has been able to do here the last 5 years, sort of sustaining this? You know, we're talking 6-7 years ago. It's a program that's looking at, hey, should we drop down? Should we cancel it all together? Has this program at all, and sort of the position it's put itself now in, is sort of maybe a jump off for a Power 5 job, hopefully for Mike Norvell? Has it impressed you?
It has impressed me, because the history of Memphis football has been episodic in the sense that they've had a really good coach, but he's gone somewhere else, and the next guy, you know, comes
Balls
in
off.
With his own deal, and
yep.
and it doesn't sustain. But Norvell's done a nice job, and you know, I think people know enough about the American, and they know enough about Memphis that if you can win there, they're going to give you a shot. You know that it's a good place for coaches to prove themselves. So then we wonder about the next guy and whether he can carry it.
Right.
Yeah, there's no question. I think Memphis, you know, they struck gold when they followed up Justin Fuente with Mike Norvell. I do want to ask you about Fuente at Virginia Tech, though, because his tenure there, I don't think it's been unanimous in sort of the job he has done. How would you assess, you know, how Justin Fuente, and again, not the easiest situation coming behind a legend the way he did, but how would you assess the job that Justin has done up at Virginia Tech?
Well, I was impressed with last season. I think the hardest part of going into a Virginia Tech situation as he did, it's not just that you're replacing a legend. It's that you're replacing a program where things were done the same way
right.
for so long that nobody remembers how to do them any other way.
Mm-hmm.
So you've really got to start over in terms of modernizing the program. You're not only bringing it to your standards, but you're bringing it to a modern standard. And that's hard to do. And, you know, for a guy like Fuente, for what, you know, Jimbo Fisher had at Florida State had a leg up because he was there. And so he could slide in. But to start over as Justin did, I think the progress I saw last year made me upbeat about them.
Yeah. Well, let us know, Ivan, if you want to do an episode on Memphis football coming back from the dead. We would love to help you out, because that is certainly what has happened here in
it's
Memphis.
Been impressive.
Absolutely. Ivan, appreciate the time as always.
Sir.
Thank you.
Jason, John, appreciate it.
Yes. Thank you.
He is Ivan Maisel. The Down and Distant podcast is available wherever you get your podcast. That would be actually a nice episode to cover. I know the audience might not be particularly as big as he might be looking for with Memphis football, but you know, I do think that's a hell of a story, the resurgence they've had.
The other point of it is it's not just having, you know, replacing coaches with another great one, right? It's the fact that they've been able to replace guys going to the NFL.
Yeah,
and fill huge spots. I mean, that part of it, too, has been so impressive. So glad to see that Ivan's peeping it out.
Yeah, yep, no doubt. All right, we'll come back. Jason and John, 92 FM, ESPN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.